Hello and welcome to the only cricket podcast that thinks four test matches isn't enough to decide who's better, England or India. You're listening to Sticky Wickets by URN Sport, and as usual, I'm joined by Surrey's finest, Toby. Toby, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks, mate. Yeah, obviously looking forward to this podcast and previewing the India series coming up later this week. How are you, mate?
I'm really good, and like you said, I'm also excited for this series and this preview podcast, and it should be very good. We're going to delve especially into the England versus India series, but we're going to start off today with a sort of brief news flash as the South Africa tour from Australia has been cancelled due to Corona. We posted about it, and that's a real shame, Toby, isn't it? Because they're two great sides and it's a great rivalry.
Yeah, it really is. I think that the last time they played, well, it seems to be a controversy-filled tour. Last time, I think, was Sandpaper Gate they played in South Africa. And it is a bit of a shame, really. I think it would have been a good series. South Africa have just started to really come into their own again. Rabada just passing 200 wickets last week. And with their batting lineup looking a bit stronger than it did a few years ago when we went over there. So it's a shame, but we move on, and hopefully they'll play again at some point in the future.
But luckily enough, we have England versus India to delve into, and this is going to be a cracker of a series. So there are four matches, two games in Chennai, followed by two games in Ahmedabad. Now, most of these games start at 4 o'clock in the morning, so we might be doing an all-nighter, just hoping to get through it. But I think we might be waking up early rather than trying to go the whole way through. But the third test is a day-night game, so we should be able to watch that game a bit more as it starts at 8:30 in the morning. So let's start with the obvious questions. Toby, who is in your England 11 for the first Chennai game?
So my 11 for the first game is probably quite different to how I can see it finishing. So I'd go with Burns, Sibley, Crawley as a sort of top three, but I know Bairstow's coming back to in the third match, so after the first two matches. If Sibley, Burns or Crawley are really having a bad series, I could see him coming in for one of them. If it's Crawley, he'll slot in number three. If it's Sibley or Burns, then likely Crawley will slide up to open again. I then got Root at four, Stokes at five. And I think that's how most people will probably have the top five for the first match, because I can't see anyone else really breaking into the top five. Then number six is where there's a bit of a difference, perhaps. I've gone for Pope, but I'm not 100% sure if he's injured. I've seen him training a lot. He played in the warm-up match in Sri Lanka, so I'm hoping he's fit. If not, Lawrence just slots back in and takes that number six spot. Then Butler taking the gloves for the first game at number seven, but Folks will come in after that, because I think he's due to head home for either the second or third match. So I think Folks comes in as a straight swap, really, which makes sense. And then Bess 8, Leach 9, Archer 10, and then one of Broad or Anderson at 11. But yet again, all of those bowlers will swap around throughout the series. I assume Wood and Stone might have a chance instead of Archer for one or two of the matches. And for me, I'd play Anderson in the first match over Broad, because that would allow him to play in the third match, which we'll talk about later, the day-nighter, which I think he'll be more dangerous in. What is your team?
Very similar to that. The only thing is, whilst I have been critical of him, no Moeen Ali in your test side. I know he's had Corona and he's, I think, struggled with it a bit. But what are you saving Ali for the later on in the series, or are you just going to keep him just out of the test squad because he hasn't played test cricket in what feels like ages?
Yeah, it's been a while. I really don't know what to think of it, because for what it always feels like, when Ali's in the side, no one wants him there. But when he's out of the side, everyone wants him in it. Mm. It seems an interesting position to be in. And I assume that he will get a go for at least a couple of the matches. For me, I'd start with Bess, just because although he didn't bowl necessarily very well in Sri Lanka, he took a fiver and a fourfer and a threefer, which is quite good. He averaged about 20 with the ball, just over. And although Leach probably looked like the better bowler, Leach, I think, averaged in the 30s, which seems quite interesting. And I think Bess had a lower economy as well. So if you're looking stats-wise, you'd assume Leach would be more likely to miss out, other than, obviously, Leach left-arm orthodox bowler, Bess and Ali both right-arm off-spin. But I don't really know what to think. I think I'd give Bess the first one, see how he bowls. If he really struggles in both innings, maybe swap out for Ali in the second or third test match, and then leave him for the rest of the series, probably. What would you do, Dom?
I very much agree with you here, and we've detailed how England spinners have been, let's be honest, not at their full standard. In Sri Lanka, they made quite a few mistakes in a few innings. So hopefully we can even maybe see Verdi come into the test squad. He is in the squad, I believe, and he's talked to Sari about what he's learning. So he's grown as a player. So hopefully we can see that. And if you wanted to see what we thought of the England-Sri Lanka series, go back and listen to what some of our other podcasts. I think they came out earlier in January, so they should be all there. And we talked a lot about the spin, so you can see what we thought about that. Now, we've also talked a little bit on previous podcasts about India and their magnificent win over Australia. But Toby's going to tell us a bit more about how they're doing going into this series for those who aren't too up to date with their Indian cricket.
Yeah, so as many people will hopefully have just seen, that India have just beaten Australia 2-1 in Australia for the first time in a while. They won at the Gabba. I think it was about 30 years Australia hadn't lost there in the final, they hadn't lost there. And in the final, the match, Rishabh Pant hit a fantastic 80 not out to carry India over the line. So that obviously bodes well for India. They've also won 28 of their last 34 matches in India, only losing three test matches since 2011, which again is a fantastic record. They've really been dominant at home, and with the spinners they have, it always shows it. But it's probably been the pace, depth and attack that has really allowed them to improve as a side, obviously at home, but also away from home as well. England have only won one series there since 1985, the 2012-13 series, captained by Alistair Cook, I think it was. Yeah. Root, I think, debuted in that series as well. So we could be struggling if you're looking at the historical records, but hopefully the team's changed and is more prepared than other past times. And also they've got a lot of players returning from injury. Bumrah, Sharma and Shami, their seam attacker, are all coming back. KL Rahul as a batsman will be returning if he's selected. And Ashwin, who missed the final test match, is returning as well. And also Virat Kohli, their captain, their talisman, comes back from paternity leave after the birth of his first child. However, they're still missing Jadeja, who is a phenomenal player. In his 33 home matches in India, he's taken 157 wickets at an average of 21 and 7 fifers, and he scored 1,206 runs at 38.9, which is a fantastic record and probably one of the best figures by an all-rounder ever, possibly. So, Dom, do you think Jadeja will be a big miss?
Yeah, I think the stats you've just reeled off there demonstrate how much of a game-changer he is. Whilst he might not be the best batsman or the best bowler, he, similar to Ben Stokes, can change a game. And to see that England have their game changer back and that X factor in Ben Stokes is very uplifting. And it's so exciting to see England being at their fullest. But to see India without Jadeja, it sort of brings in a different question of, what is there a plan B? Will they be able to keep going without Jadeja? And Jadeja is someone who plays very hard, and he's been in a bit of a scuffle with Jimmy Anderson in 2014. And I'm not a massive fan of the man, but I have to admit, as a player, he is fantastic. And to see him out of the England line, the India lineup, gives England a big boost, because, like the stats you've just said, there is a lot going against us here. We've got to keep going, and we've got to take every advantage we can. So hopefully it's good for England without Jadeja, and we can maybe put India in a difficult position and get a win in Chennai, and then wait. And hopefully we have got to win that day-night game where the conditions are in our favour. So if we get one win in Chennai and one win in Hyderabad, that is a very successful tour for England. But I think without Jadeja, that is possible for England.
Yeah, I think so. He is such a key player for them. And it did show in that Australia series where he came back after missing that first match, or wasn't selected in that first match. And then India went on to win the series 2-1 with him in the side. in those next couple matches. So let's start talking about the ground. So England are playing their first match in Chennai. India haven't lost in Chennai since 1999, but England have an okay record in general there. They've won 3 matches and lost 5, but haven't won there since 1985. So it's going to have to go back a while to see England win back there. None of the current England team, unfortunately, have better bowling figures than 280 in Chennai, which isn't great for us. However, a bit of positivity. Some England fans may remember that Chennai was where Moeen Ali hit 146 back in 2018. And he'll likely be back in the squad after his corona treatment has been finished. And it's just whether or not he plays, I guess. And also, 25,000 fans will be allowed into Chennai. And this will be the first fan involvement with England since their last test tour of South Africa. Dom, how do these stats make you feel?
Oh, it makes me phenomenally nervous. One of those wins came before the Second World War for England out of those three. So it's never good when you're having to go that far back. Yeah, it's very, very nerve-wracking, I'm going to be honest. But we've got Jofra. Jofra wasn't in the 2016 squad. The spinners have changed. And it's fair to say this England team isn't playing the sort of Trevor Bayliss flash, exciting sort of test match cricket. We are playing a lot sturdier test cricket. And whilst it's not quite as exciting to watch, the run rate's a lot slower, it builds a team. And we can win on these slow pitches. We have just beaten Sri Lanka in a very difficult pitch. So we could win here, but it's not England's favourite ground, it's fair to say. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bit worried. But let's look at the positives. 25,000 fans. That is incredible to see. And what that could do to India as a team will be phenomenal, and it will raise their game and obviously all that. But hopefully England always do quite well when they're up against it. I mean, if you look in this past few years, when England have been down and out, we've come back and we've got to almost use this island mentality of we're against everyone in India, from the 25,000 fans to the players on the pitch. It could help England, but overall, it's going to be difficult for England to get one win. And hopefully we can get a win, but it doesn't look likely. But I'm going to say we're going to get a win. I'm going to say we're going to get a win in Chennai.
I'm glad to hear the positivity there. England will also play 2 matches in Ahmedabad, the third tester, which is a day-nighter. First ball being bowled at 8:30 in the morning, English time, which is obviously much nicer for us as fans to watch back home in England. They've only played there twice, losing by 9 wickets in 2016, which is less good again. But do you think the floodlights and the nighttime game might help England, Dom?
Yeah, I think it does sort of suit our swinging conditions. And like you said earlier, that Jimmy Anderson might be in his element for once on foreign soil. And Jimmy has toiled away, it seems like, in every corner of the world and just been unlucky, it feels like, at times. He's a magnificent bowler. I'm really looking forward to seeing the power dynamics sort of coming back into favour with England, with the sort of pink ball, the floodlights, the dew off the grass, making it a bit damper for the ball to swing a bit more, which would favour England's style of play. So it could there could even be a win here. And I'm not sure. What do you think, Toad? Do you think England, this could be the scene of England's big win here, or you're a bit sceptical?
I would hope so. I think this is probably where we're most likely to win. I think I've read that they redid Ahmedabad's either the wicket or the whole stadium. So I think it's reasonably new, and I'm not sure if many matches have been played there yet. So I don't know what the conditions are like. But I think day-nighters will always help England with the swinging ball. As long as we can bowl in those conditions most of the time. The memory that comes to mind is back in Adelaide for the Ashes we last played down under. Jimmy, I remember, took 5, Wokes took 4, and we skittled out Australia in one of the evenings, which was fantastic. But and I also actually remember Craig Overton bowling an absolute beauty to Steve Smith through the gate, I think it was. So that would be nice if we can see another ball like that from one of our bowlers. I think it is going to be hopeful that is our most likely venue to win at. So if we can win in Chennai in one of the first 2 games, or at least draw 1 or 2 of them, it does look likely we have a chance with the series, I will say. And so, Dom, what would you say your predictions then for the 4-game series are?
Okay. One of my favorite songs from last year was Ten Heart, that one. Dun, 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 dun. So my head is telling me that it's going to be a 3-0 drubbing to India and England will just collapse. And, you know, just a pessimistic England fan that's seen England get battered from pillar to pillar post. It's just, it's never good sometimes for England. But my heart is telling me it's, you know, it's a bit excited that England could win 2-1. We need a bit of rain in one of the games. We do need to win the floodlight game. And we also need to win a game in Chennai, I think, to sort of give us the momentum to go into Hyderabad. But I'm excited. So I think I will go with a 2-1 victory for England and we'll snap that up and put that on our Instagram page so everyone can see and date that back if we're right. And if not, we won't put this back up, will we? So what's your predictions, mate?
I'm feeling very similar, I'd say, with I don't really thinking about it, I don't back us to win more than one match, I'd say. But there is just a little bit of me that does think there is always a chance. And with some of the matches that have been played recently in Test cricket, you look at Headingley as probably one of the start. You look at the way that India played at the Gabba and at the SCG, I think it was before, to get the draw. It's just something within me thinks we can just nick a game or two, maybe get a draw and a 2-1 win. But I would say, realistically, I think a 3-0 loss is probably most likely, maybe 3-1. So today, big news broke for terrestrial TV and cricket. For the first time in 16 years, Test Match Cricket will be available to everyone as Channel 4 has won the rights to broadcast. This is fantastic news, as it now means that everyone can watch cricket, which I know we both really are happy to see, as it possibly can sometimes come off as a bit of an elitist game with you having to have Sky and BT subscriptions. And I know there was a bit of talk about Disney Plus having the viewing rights for this one. So that would have yet again been another £10 a month or whatever it is for a couple matches. And also, I read earlier that Alistair Cook and Strauss are both set to join the Channel 4 team as sort of pundits to give their in-depth knowledge. Cook obviously being the captain who won most recently in India in the 2012-13 series. So I think it'll be good hopefully to see those. Dom, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's that fantastic. Test cricket, the last time it was on TV, 2005 Ashes, Oval, 7 million people watched the first ball or something ridiculous like that. And it's so important for Test cricket to be seen and in the public eye. And somehow, strangely, the timings of this game being so awkward, so different, it could help England cricket visibility. Because if you're sort of tuning in the morning on furlough, it's going to be there. It's going to be very much in your eye line. And it's so important for that to be seen to just the average person, the person who might not like cricket. But if he sees 25,000 people and England doing well, that is going to make him go, yeah, I might want to go to cricket in the summer when it's back on. Yeah, I might want to go see even my county side. I might want to go down and watch a T20. And that's the sort of thing that will keep English cricket afloat. I have been a massive advocate for terrestrialisation of cricket. And to see that Strauss and Cook, two absolutely fantastic pundits, come back onto the screen is great. And I think where we will gauge the sort of the reach of this is the numbers we see people talking about it just in and around Zoom chats for uni, because we both can't go to uni together. We've got to be on Zoom chats. But if we can see people just sort of ticking about cricket and asking what's the score, it's just what we want as cricket fans, for everyone to enjoy this game. And we are trying to get something in the pipeline for a big interview, and we're not sure if it's going to happen yet, but we're just going to sort of give you this little teaser, and we're going to talk to them about being visible. So hopefully England cricket on Channel 4 will be the most visible thing. And I think the day-night test match that starts at 8:30 will be the biggest chance for English cricket to become popular again since 2005. So I'm really excited to hear that news. Toby, what's your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, exactly the same. I think we talk about it quite a lot, that cricket just needs to be seen by as many people as it can. It's by population, it's the second most watched sport, I think, in the world. But that is mainly due to the 1 and a bit billion people in India who are fanatical about it. And we do need to just, not just in England, but in so many other of the sort of smaller countries who are just starting to play cricket, playing in a few World Cups maybe, or a few test matches if they've just given rights to play in them. So hopefully this will be the sort of the start of the cricket rising up and being the most popular sport and overtaking football
as cricket fans, I always accept football is going to be the most popular sport, but I think England cricket's biggest rival is almost England rugby when it comes to popularity in the country. I think whilst American football's entered the market, and if you want to have if you want to listen to us talk about American football, we're on the Touchdown URN podcast, the Super Bowl special. I usually host it. Toby came on as a special guest and absolutely smashed it, gave us some great answers, and we had a great time. So go listen to that. But back to talking about sport in England, it's always between England football and England rugby and England cricket. And football's really pulled away with the advent of the Premier League and all that. But I think England cricket has always suffered from not being visible. Rugby's always had the Six Nations on TV, and it's always almost an event for Wales and Scotland. So that sort of permeates into England, whereas the cricket doesn't have that sort of event feel every year. And it's not on the BBC, it's not on ITV every year. It's hard for people new to get into the game. So hopefully, and I really want this to happen, people who are in lockdown will be able to see cricket. And it's almost shame people are in lockdown and can't talk out at the office and all that, but hopefully, strangely, cricket in lockdown will be something people can get behind. And I'm so desperate for it to happen. That if we're honest, the World Cup didn't permeate the whole social non-cricket fans bar the final, and even then it was gone like that. And then Headingley sort of came, but then Corona sort of took that away for the summer of 2020. This is England's chance to make headlines. And I know they probably can't think about this, but if the England lads get a few wins under their belts in India, that will be massive for the morale of cricket fans who are, like everyone else, struggling at this time. But it'll be so important to see England go and win at something rarely done for England sport, and to see it on terrestrial telly is so important. I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Carry on, Toby.
DJ! Is URN University Radio Nottingham.
Cheers. Yeah, so onto other news. The Test Championship is coming to an end with only a few series left to play. As it stands, New Zealand have all but qualified now that the Australia-South Africa series has been cancelled. It is now impossible for India and England to be ahead of New Zealand, as well as Australia, obviously. So it seems likely, unless there is some miracle series between Australia and South Africa, that New Zealand have got to the final. India are top at the moment. They've got 71.7% of points. Australia a third with 69.2%. New Zealand in the middle with 70%. And England fourth with 68.7%. The only four teams still able to qualify for the final. However, there are so many different permutations within the championship depending on how this England-India series goes. If India-England is a draw, Australia are through to the final to play New Zealand, no matter what. If England win by more than two, so if they win by three or more wins against India, so 3-0, 3-1 or 4-0, they are through to the final, which seems quite unlikely, unfortunately. But if they win by less than that, so 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, Australia are in the final. So India need to win 1-0 and Australia in the final. However, if they win by any other margin, they have made it through, which makes a very interesting series here, because even if England are 2-0 down after the first match, they can really get back into it. Even if they can't win the series, just by getting a 2-2 draw will stop the Aussies from getting through to the final. Don, how do you see all this panning out?
I can't see it. I genuinely can't give you a direct answer here, Toby. It's so confusing. And I think it's fair to say sometimes you just have to admit things are confusing. We're in a pandemic and we can't go to uni. Everything seems quite gloomy. but the chance of Australia not making it to a final, that is what's keeping me going. So hopefully they can bottle it and India or England go through. But something I would like to say is congrats to New Zealand. They've really been so unlucky, the bridesmaids of Test match and ODI cricket, really. They got another chance to be at a final at Lord's after the... They were so unlucky not to beat England, and that's coming from a diehard England fan. They literally got the exact same score as us twice, so it's very difficult for them to not be ODI champions. So hopefully they can get Test Championship status and be that first team to win it. And this Test Championship, whilst it might be confusing at the moment, we will get used to this. We will start to understand it in future years, and maybe they refine the series and how it works. But I wholeheartedly would like New Zealand to win the series, and unless it's against England, obviously. Toby, who have you got in the final with New Zealand?
I think it's probably going to be India, because I can't see us winning 3-0 or more than that. And I can't see India not beating us by more than 1-0. So even if they win 2-1, which would, I'd say, be quite a good result, unless we manage to somehow draw the series with them, I think India will make it through to the final to play New Zealand. Another question to do with that, though, Dom, if it is India New Zealand, who would you back in a match at Lord's in July, I think the match is meant to be?
Yeah, I think New Zealand's style of cricket most lends itself to Lord's, and it's sort of slope, and I can see them doing very well, and Kane Williamson and that sort of team coming together, and it is a great team. It's not a star-studded team where, if you look at England or India, you can, or even Australia, sorry, you can easily go star. They're like the billion-dollar players, if that makes sense. You look at New Zealand, yes, they got Kane Williamson, but it's not like they're brimming to the... They're not household names over here that, in the same way Australian players are. I would say New Zealand win, assuming they've got a full team, but India would probably have the biggest fan support, and I think I'd say the sort of person who doesn't have anything invested, so English people or British people going to the game at Lord's just for the fun of it, would probably back New Zealand, because New Zealand seem to be almost our cricket cousins. Owen Morgan and Kane Williamson, like that style of ODI, Morgs nicked from Kane Williamson, really, if we're honest, led us to a World Cup, and we've grown as they've grown cricketing wise. So I'd like New Zealand to win that, but there's always going to be good support for India no matter where they go with the Bharat Army. So I'm going to say India would win just because I don't want to curse it, but hopefully New Zealand would win. What about you, Toby?
Yeah, I think the same. I think Australia versus New Zealand would be a really interesting game if they managed to get through to the final. But I would say New Zealand are favourites. Well, maybe not favourites, but have a very suited side to play at Lord's in the early English summer. Whereas India, I know, have struggled last time they came over. We beat them 3-1. Although arguably their seam attack wasn't necessarily strong, but I think it will be a fantastic game no matter what happens.
Yeah, well, speaking of games, I've got a special one for you. It's called Ring My Ian Bell.
This is URN.
So it is 1-1 in the URN Ashes, and I have the advantage as I have set today's quiz. So hello and welcome to the quiz. This is going to be quite a fun quiz. It's going to involve a bit of acting. So if you're listening, close your eyes and just imagine. I'm going to paint pictures for you, okay? I'm going to paint verbal pictures. So, I give Toby a series of clues, and he has to guess which England cricketer's house I am in, similar to Through the Keyhole. So, there will be four facts, and the first fact gets 6 points, the second gets 4 points, the third gets 2 points, and the last gets 1 point, okay? So, similar to Through the Keyhole, I will give a series of clues. But if you just want to close your eyes and imagine I'm describing an England cricketer's house to you, just get excited, because this is Ring My Ian Bell. Who said we weren't creative? All right, Toby, you ready?
I'm ready, yes.
Okay, your target to get a point in the URN Ashes is 17. So there's 5 players and you have to get 17. Okay, so person number one. Wow, it's great to be here in this lovely house. And what can I see? Well, a poster of England rugby legend Martin Johnson, reminding me to take praise and criticism. Also, is that Jägermeister over there? Oh, what a clue that was. And what great acting. What great acting. So that would be 6 runs. Can you guess the cricketer from that?
I have no idea. Jägermeister makes me think of Alex Hales due to the Bristol incident. But I don't know how big a rugby fan he is.
Alex Hales. I'm not sure what he's like with rugby, but
yeah.
Is that a good final answer?
I will go for Alex Hales, yes.
No points so far. Okay, so we move on to the second clue for 4 runs. Well, Toby, I've just snuck into the backyard and I can see a barbecue and a very spacious area with a pool table. Must be said, this garden is lovely and I'm pretty sure a few England legends have been in this garden. Oh, that's the second clue. Toby, who are you going for?
I'm assuming it's an England player due to... Are they all English players, did you say, John?
Yeah, they're all English players, sorry.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah, so that's one thing I know at least. I'm going to go randomly here, Ian Bell. Don't know why, but...
Not Ian Bell. I can't imagine Ian Bell liking Jägermeister. He seems like a sort of, I'm going to say, IPA sort of bloke. He's not having shots, his belly. Right, 2 runs. Can he get 2 runs on the board? Well, I've just gone back into the house now, Toby. Well, it's fair to say this is the best room ever. There's a projector, so this lad can watch whatever sport he wants. He's a massive Forest fan, and he's also a Dallas Cowboys fan. And as I can just see on the walls here, there are some great names of, well, bowling and all-round cricket on the walls here. Toby, who could it be? Who could it be who has a projector? Who could have a Forest shirt? Who could have a Dallas Cowboys shirt?
Nottingham Forest is... It makes me just think of Nottingham, and I'm just thinking Stuart Broad is probably the big name Nottingham player currently. Before him, I don't really know many others. Maybe Swanee, I could kind of see doing shots as well. Oh, maybe Swan actually. I'm going to go with Graham Swan.
It's not Graham Swan, I'm afraid. So for 1 run, lovely bit of recording here, Toby. It's fantastic equipment, and apparently this player's fiance also does a bit of recording as well.
So it is Stuart Broad, I assume, then.
It was Broady, so that is 1 point. So you need 16 off the last 4. So you need some points here. So that was Stuart Broad. Toby's on 1 point, 16 to win. So person 2. Wow, what a wonderful house. I've gone a bit up north for this one, and oh, I can see a robot doing the lawn mowing, mowing the lawn. What? And it's fair to say this World Cup winner loves his lawn because he's even got a putting green in the back garden. Who could that be, Toby? Who's a World Cup winner, likes putting, lives up north?
Ben Stokes is my first thought because I know he's a golf player, he's a World Cup winner, and he's from Durham. So is it Ben Stokes?
It's not Ben Stokes, I'm afraid. So for 4 runs, wow, I've just come into the house, Toby, and it's fair to say this lad's got plenty of medals. But most surprisingly, there's an Olympic torch over there. And what it seems to me, I'm in a sports bar with draft Heineken and an indoor grill in his shed. Who could this be, Toby?
Oh, okay. This is getting tougher again. World Cup winner, I'm assuming it's the most recent one rather than the T20 one. Olympic torch, Northern Golf, Joe Root is coming to mind again. Did he carry the Olympic torch? 2012. Johnny Bairstow possibly from Yorkshire as well, or Rashid, but I don't know if they're golfers.
I'm going to be honest, Adil Rashid's someone not likely to have draft Heineken in his flats.
Very true.
So I would eliminate him and Moinani this one.
I'm going to go for current England captain, Joe Root.
It's not Joe Root, I'm afraid. So for 2 runs. This is the most difficult so far, I'm going to be honest. This also took me ages. And I am definitely banned by many social media sites from looking up any more cricketers. Whilst it can be said this England legend in all forms of the game, is maybe one of my biggest, I'm one of his biggest fans, but his actual biggest fan is Daniel Radcliffe. So down there, I can see a signed copy of the Harry Potter films. So, and it's fair to say, this England ex-England cricketer looks a bit like one of the magical trio. Who could it be, Toby? Toby's okay. Scribing away now.
Yeah, I've got to take notes, you know, taking this very seriously. I need to get back in it. If he looks like one of the trio, I'm assuming it's going to be Ron, meaning he's ginger. Ex-England cricketer, ginger. I have two in mind. It's either, I assume, going to be Bell or Collingwood. I know Collingwood's from Durham, and I think Bell's from Birmingham, around there. So I think that's not really northern enough. So I'm going to go for Paul Collingwood.
It is Paul Collingwood. Well done. Yeah, I didn't. I'm going to be honest. He had the best house I've broken into for this game, and he's got this amazing sports bar with a grill. Oh, it was so cool. And hopefully he'll listen to this. We'll pull Collingwood and obviously invite us over when Corona's all done. Are you ready for person three?
I am, yes.
So you need to get 14 in the... So you need one straight off the bat here, and a few... You need some big hitters. Okay, so... number three. Well, this is a lovely house, Toby. There's lots of cookery books, as this player cooks his own beef Wellington, but he doesn't cook his own pastry. Who could it be, Toby? Who could it be?
Okay. For some reason, Alistair Cook, well, not some reason, you said Cook about three times there, so Cook comes to mind as a player, but I don't think it is him. Unless, no, I don't know if it is. Who else cooks? I'm trying to think of here. I don't really know. I think I might just have to go for Alistair Cook just to...
It's not Ali Cook, I'm afraid. So, Toby's in trouble here.
I'm really struggling. I need to get this one, I think, don't I, to have any chance.
For four runs. Lots of stuff from Leeds and his own rugby career. It's just littered around the house and seems to be a dog and a bit of hair care looks over there. Ooh, this is a nice place. I mean, there's just Leeds Rhinos, Leeds football. It's very Yorkshire in here. So, who could it be, Toby? Who could it be? The listeners are screaming at their phones going, obviously him. Who are you gonna say?
Oh, Yorkshire narrows it down again. I'm thinking current the root and best are the go to. Ex Yorkshire players.
I'll give you a hint. It is a modern Yorkshire player.
Modern Yorkshire player. Okay. I'm assuming. Oh, okay. So root or best, maybe Rashid, but I don't think so. He doesn't strike me as a chef. I could be very wrong there, though.
You know what? He strikes me as a really good baker, and I don't know why, but I can't see him cooking.
I can see that, actually. Yeah, but not beef Wellington. I don't know. It just doesn't quite work, that one. Who else from Yorkshire is there right now? I think those are the main two. I'm going to go for Joe Root because I think he has a dog.
It's not Joe Root, I'm afraid. So you're going to need to get this and then the next two sixes.
Okay. This will be tough.
Okay. So due to this player's complexion, there's a lot of sun cream about the place. It's got that lovely smell of sun cream. Who could it be? And I've actually asked this guy. Well, does he have a sponsored sun cream deal? And it turns out he doesn't, but he used to. Who could it be, Toby? Who?
That immediately makes me think of Johnny Bairstow because he's ginger. And I know you talk a lot about the gingers and the Irish players struggling in the sun. So I'm going to go for Johnny Bairstow.
It is Johnny Bairstow. It is. So you have had two runs, and one run. So that is five. So you need two sixes to win the game. I mean, remember the name Toby Reynolds is something that will just be said by Dave Floyd. Is he on Cameo? Because if you get this, I will pay to have him say that. Okay, so person number four. he needs to get this on the first go, but we'll carry on to see if he can get time, maybe. I'm not sure how that would work, but we'll see what we can do. So for six runs, ooh, this is a lovely house. And there's a bit of hair dye over there, as well as a bit of brute. Who could it be? Who has had hair dye? Who has maybe been in a commercial for brute spray? Who could it be, Toby? Who?
Michael Vaughan comes to mind. I don't know why. And if Vaughan really, for some reason, is listening to this podcast right now, I apologise if it's not him.
We've already had a go.
Hair dye brute. Can I ask you if it's a current or a former one, Dom?
A current.
Okay. Current. Okay, so it's not Vaughan. I apologise. When he inevitably listens to this.
Who has hair dye?
So I can't imagine it's any of the sort of young gun batsmen we have. Some of the older players could be Jimmy. He does dye his hair quite a lot. Does he have a brute sponsorship?
This brute sponsorship was in the past. I'm not sure if this individual has a brute sponsorship anymore, though.
I'm just going to Google brute and see if anything.
No, that's cheating.
I'm going to go for Jimmy Anderson, I think.
It is Jimmy Anderson.
Oh, yes.
Six. So the game is on for person number five. Wow. Could we see absolute scenes here in Ring My Ian Bell? The only game where the quiz master is no longer allowed to be in 2 metres of any England cricketers. Right. This one's tricky. This one is tricky. So, I broke into this last house, Toby, for this game. It's fair to say this is a lovely house. There's a lovely kitchen. Bit of Yorkshire tea. And, what a lovely wine fridge. Who likes their Yorkshire tea and who has a wine fridge? This is a deep cutting analysis you only get at URN Sports.
Yorkshire tea and wine. Gone through most of the Yorkshire players by now. We know it can't be Rashid, and we've done Johnny Bairstow, which makes me think of Joe Root, but is it too obvious and have I said his name too many times already? I know a few years ago they had quite a lot of players in the side. Any quick bowlers they have? I don't know if they do. Batting wise, I don't know other than Rooty. I feel like Rooty could like a good bit of wine as well. So I'm going to go for Joe Root.
He's in it for six. He's won. Absolute scenes. Oh, Ring My Ian Bell has come to a climactic end, and Toby goes 2-1 up in the URN Ashes. Absolute scenes. He poses in the middle of his uni halls as if he was Ben Stokes at Headingley. Wow, that was incredible. I'm actually quite annoyed now. We'll try and get Bumble to say about remember the name Toby Reynolds, but I'm so impressed. So yes, the other clues were about shredders for Jimmy and 5-wicket hauls and all that. But for Joe, he had quite a nice house, actually. He has a guitar. He's got some small cricket bats for his kids. And he's obviously got an England captain's blazer in his wardrobe. Toby, how does that magnificent win out of nothing feel?
It feels amazing. I feel like I now know how, you know, Ben Stokes has felt in Headingley and in the World Cup final, really. It was pretty similar. Quite extraordinary wins, and I think they're very comparable, I'd say.
The only reason why no one's watching us do this live is because of Corona and nothing else.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We've come to the end of another podcast. Obviously, with the match coming up, the series in India, we're looking forward to it, and I hope you guys are too. Dom, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having us on URN Sticky Wickets.
And just a reminder, guys, go give our Twitter and Instagram a like, a follow, whatever you want to do with it. Our Instagram's at stickywicket_URN.
Yes.
And our Twitter's URN Sticky Wicket. So any questions you guys have, any suggestions for games, for guests you might want us to see, we have a few more lined up, hopefully coming on in the next couple of weeks. Thank you guys again. Go well.
Cheers.
On campus. And online.
Online.
Online. This is URN.